Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to episode number 8 of Bat Chat, the podcast series that documents the 2022 Athletics Victoria season of the Bendigo Regional Bats. It's been a big season. It's been a big break since the last time we spoke to you guys as well. The last time we put out an episode was July 16th, 2022. I wasn't on that episode, but Andy Buchanan was from St. Moritz getting ready for the Commonwealth Games. Nigel Preston was, and Matt the Mad Steak Buckle was on that show. This time on the show, we're going to be recapping what happened since that day, talk about the year as a bit of a whole, recap some of the results in the other divisions. And I do have two people with me. The first one is Andy Buchanan, the 2022 Commonwealth Games Australian Marathon representative, finished 7th in that race. Welcome to you, Andy.
Thanks, Brady. It's I'm just thinking my view out the window is a little bit different to the last time I spoke to Nigel on this podcast. So I was living it up in St. Moritz, but a lot has happened since then, and we're all what do we call ourselves? Premiership runners. Is that what we call ourselves these days?
Yeah, or? Premiers. Got to change the Instagram bio, I think. I was going to put in mine 2022 Premiership Bat or something like that. People ordering tattoos, a lot's happening. So thank you for joining us, and probably a better view, I'd say, out the window, looking out at Bendigo surrounding area compared to St. Moritz, Switzerland.
Nothing better than Bendigo. Nothing better.
That's it. The other person joining me today is the team director. He's had a busy year, busy job. He's even done some busy work prepping some of the stats for this podcast today. Nigel Preston, welcome to you.
Thanks, Brady. Welcome, Andy. Good to see you as well back in Bendigo. It's good, and welcome, listeners. Sorry, it has been a little while between podcasts, but we're here to wrap it all up for the season.
We are here to wrap it all up, and obviously we've got some good news. A lot of the listeners will know that we have become premiers, but looking forward to just going back over some of the last races, recapping them. Because it was a bit touch and go there. It was getting a bit scary. Not scary, but I think I was the most worried person in our whole team listing roster that thought we could have got rolled. But we got the job done. So just stick with us. We'll go back to, boys, because the last time we put out an episode was after Sandown Relays, which was round 5, I'm pretty sure. I've got all this in front of me here. It was round 5. It was the first round of the year, believe it or not, that we didn't win. So first at Gels Park Relays, first at the Bendigo 8K Cross Country, first at Cruden Farm 12K, first at St. Anne's Eckerton Relays, and then we got rolled at the Sandown Relays where we were second. And I just got this sense, it was a bit of a shift in the season. I feel like early on in the season, everyone was like, yeah, we're the underdogs, feel-good story of the season. And then you come out and smack everyone in 4 rounds. And then all of a sudden it was that tall poppy syndrome I think you spoke about on the episode, Andy, where all of a sudden people were coming for us. And when they saw this second at Sandown, there was a bit of that, people were trying to find cracks in the Bendigo team. People thought it was still mathematically possible, even though we won the first 4 rounds, that we could get beaten. And we made a bit of a choking hazard throughout the second half of the season. But we turned it around at Bundoora, backs against the wall, and come first. It was pretty good day that day. Nath Stoat was fourth, I was ninth. Matt Buckle probably had the run of his life to be 11th. And then we had Brian McGinley, Brian Keeley, and Jamie Cook all come in between 25th and 30th. So we won pretty easy that day. And our main competition, the Box Hill Horses, they got moved down to third overall because Geelong had their best result of the season into second place, which just helped us on the ladder. But Andy, you were overseas still at this one. How were you feeling the vibe was towards the team? And then this big, you know, make a statement, come back out there and come first.
Yeah, it was quite funny. I remember Sandown relays quite vividly. I was across the other side of the world, just completely different time zone, and Ned Buckle was down there giving me live updates. And obviously Andre ran a really good leg, sixth leg down there at Sandown, and managed to get Box Hill over the line. And I don't know, you and me, Brady, we were just stoked to get one win at the start of the season, whereas because we know what Div 1's like, whereas a few of the younger guys in the team thought we're just going to win every round. They kind of thought, oh yeah, we've won the first two, three, four, we'll just keep going. Whereas we kind of understood how hard it is to win a XCR race. And a few of the younger members weren't happy. It's like we lost. It's like we came last. They were so devastated with second. And we just kind of had to remind them that second is still really good. And we actually don't need to win every single round from here on in. But we definitely had a few people obviously just didn't agree with us being in Div 1 to start with. But then because we were succeeding, a few people were trying to chop us back down again. Just because that's kind of the Australian way. As soon as you do something different, as soon as you're out of the box, people try to cut you down so you kind of fit into normal life. And we didn't stand for that. The Bats stood up and obviously come out at Bundoora. Pretty hard race, that one. It's pretty traditional and it's pretty a lot of people come out for it. So that's, I think it's nearly a... behind some of the relays, probably one of our best results. Super consistent team. Everyone had an awesome race. Unfortunately, I wasn't there, but just super, super pleasing to see the team absolutely dominate without me there. And then really without Archie, like he was just kind of jogging around. So at the start of the year, possibly depending on distance, our two fastest runners weren't running and we still smoked everyone. So pretty pleasing day. Nige, you were there, so you would have seen it all firsthand. Is that right?
Yeah, I could see it all emerging. And it also was a race that started the Geelong Cats, the running team, not the football team, but it sort of emerged that team. Suddenly I found myself surrounded by five or six Geelong guys further back in the field, and they were sort of littered through the field. And you're sort of every time you pass one, another one came by you, and there's a different guy from Geelong. And I'm thinking, where'd all these guys kind of come from? I thought we were racing Box Hill, and you're normally looking for Box Hill shirts. You sort of get dialed in. But at Bundoora, for those who are familiar with it, that does loop back and forth. And, you know, I could look across. Oh, yeah, that's good. There's Nate, there's Brady, there's Matt. Oh, Matt's up there. And I could see the two Bryans and Cookie. And you're like, oh, great. These guys are looking really good, sort of trying to do the counts and just knowing that this is looking pretty good. But then when we got to the finish, I remember sort of running into the group of Bats and sort of checking with Brady. And Brady's like, no, I think we're looking good here. I think he'd done the maths, he'd done the count. And you were like pretty confident early that we'd got our six home before anyone else.
Yeah.
So that's always good.
Once you have those top three, like we had three in the top 11, like it's, and you'd bring up a good point, Andy, because, you know, if you were there, of course, you would have been top 11 and Archie at full fitness would be top 11 too. So like, potentially a full strength team. And you're forgetting, like, listeners out there who are not familiar with the Bendigo roster, is Matt Buckle is an identical twin of Ned Buckle. Ned's had like a long time hip issue going on and had surgery on that, but when he gets back, he is, as I said, he's identical. So his running PBs are pretty much the same as Matt's. So you're looking at, I know it's easy to say this now, but we had three in the top 11 at probably the most competitive race of the year, plus the Australian cross country champion not there, plus Archie, who's a 29-20 10K guy coming off an injury, plus an identical version of Matt Buckle who come 11th. Like, you could have full strength team. You could have six guys in the top 14. Crazy depth if it ever works out that way.
Yeah, that's right. I'd definitely be looking to buy stocks in Bendigo Bats. I think we're on the up, and I don't know. I look at Geelong, and yes, their numbers they definitely improved throughout the season, but I think, I don't know, I feel like the quality, that top end quality of Box Hill, of St. Stephen's, really dropped away. Like looking at Bundoora, and Box Hill's sixth runner was 59th. Like, you never used to see that back in the day. They would normally get all their guys in that top 30. So yes, Geelong did start scoring a lot more, and they had a lot more people there. But I still think we were in a different league. Like, a lot of people down in Geelong started getting their hopes up towards the end of the season, but they were in a different race, really.
A lot of controversy as well with Geelong about the members in their team that aren't from Geelong or got no connection with Geelong as well. So it's like, I don't know, probably a bit of a shallow kind of feeling for me, knowing that you're climbing the ladder with guys that you've brought in, not actually, people, you know, have got that connection to the town.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. They seem to be wearing different singlets every year, some of them. So no loyalty, and I don't know. We'll see who those people run for next year. They might be trying to get into the Bendigo camp, but I don't think a lot of them wouldn't make our Div 4 team, I don't think.
Yeah, well, it is trade period at the moment, so we'll see who we can pick up in the next couple of weeks. I know there's some big announcements coming on social media, but we might quickly talk about that at the end of the show. So that was round six, first there. Went to Albert Park for round seven, the 10K. So probably, although I just did say Bundoora was probably one of the most competitive races of the season, this one's definitely the deepest. Big field, over 500 athletes here. Get a lot of people who aren't AV registered that come and do this race just for a fast 10K hit out. We were third that day, which isn't a poor result because St. Stephen's wheel out a lot of guys that you don't see for most of the season. Who won that day, Nige? Do you know? St. Stephen's first, and then who was second?
Let me just get them up while we're
I've got it. Yeah, I've got it here. So St. Stephen's 117, Western A's was second, 133, and we were third with 221st. So we had 6th, 11th, 18th, 42nd, 61st, and 83rd. So I think Glenn McMillan was our sixth runner there. Mm. So, third place, but you see a lot of people that you don't see at the tough races, the Cruden Farms and the Bunduras and that kind of stuff rolling around in this one. So I think third was still a pretty good result for us.
Yeah, I think we got away with avoiding a disaster there.
Yeah, St. Stephen's has come out and got six in the top 31, which they haven't done for the rest of the season. And you just sort of go, oh, yep, okay, that's really solid, you know. And I think I was talking to Glenn after this one, because, you know, he was pretty disappointed, and he's run 32, maybe 33 minutes, and he's in the top, just inside the top 100. And you think of any other run, basically in Victoria or Australia, maybe, where you would be running that kind of time, like 32 minutes and being a hundredth, it shows how deep and how fast that field is to do well. So, yeah, that's one where you come away going, oh, all right, that's round seven, and we've done pretty well. We've got three to go, and we've got to just knuckle down.
So. And I think one of the best things about that was Box Hill finished fifth. So once again, we kept increasing that gap at the top end, and we knew St. Stephen's weren't really much of a much competition because, yes, they can turn up with a really good team, but they didn't have the consistency that we had. Western A's were still there, but we knew Box Hill was going to be the main competition, and they finished two spots below us, which was a massive win for us.
Yeah, so although, you know, not winning, we're still winning on the ladder points overall in these races, like making that gap to Box Hill even bigger, which then took us, you come back then, Andy, that race was pretty close to your Commonwealth Games, that Albert Park 10K, but by the time Ballarat Road 15K rolled around, this was, I think, in our message group, the directions from the top, we just put the nail in the coffin of a few teams. I think we started playing with numbers at this stage. It was kind of like, well, there's three races left. If we score X amount of points, when does it make it impossible for other teams to catch us? And you coming back, Archie, just, you know, I think he went from 80th at Bundoora to maybe 50th at Albert Park and then getting back into form. So, like, he was coming back into shape. And I think we absolutely, I don't know, have you got the points in front of you, Nige? We did get the win. I was fourth, Andy was fifth. Nate Stoat did a workout building towards Melbourne Marathon and was kind of like 15th, 16th. But it was a pretty comprehensive win again. I think Geelong did have a decent team, but we were well ahead.
Yeah, 4th, 5th, 14th, 16th, 17th, and then 55th. So 111 points. So very tidy. And most people that have run it at Ballarat, it's 2.5 laps basically around Lake Wendouree. And I feel like it's a grind. I don't know how you boys feel up the front, but it just feels like you're just running around and around, kind of looking across the lake going, geez, I've got to run all the way back around there. But again, Box Hill were in third. So we've, again, put in 3 points over the main rivals at that round, which was great. And Andy, I know you got a bit of a little clip around the ears from the coach about that one, didn't you, Andy, after Ballarat?
Yeah, I did. One of many clip around the ears with me running a bit too fast in an XCR race. So this was, 2 weeks, I think, post Comm Games Marathon. So that time where you start to think you're feeling all right, but you're actually not feeling all right at all. So I was just down there just to score points, didn't really have any expectations on where I finished, just wanted to enjoy myself and score some good points, and ended up helping Brady for a bit, trying to get him on the podium, which we got pretty close. But it was a good race. I actually quite like racing down there. Sometimes it does feel, certain parts of the lap feel really long, but then certain parts go really quickly, and I think it's actually a really fast 15k, and it's like you hear of a lot of people going through 10k and in that 15K in 10K PBs, which is quite unique. And I think that's probably, it's one of Moose's best runs there when he finished, I think he finished third. I'm sure he's mentioned that many times, but it was a really good result for us. And we easily rolled Geelong, and we actually beat Box Hill by over 100 points, which is pretty impressive. And I'll never forget standing on the finish line, and we had our 5 runners through, we're waiting for our 6th. And Brady's stressing, like, we've lost it. No, we're done. We're no good. Oh, shit. Like, this was going to be a good round for us. And he's stressing. And, our 6th runner comes through, and we rolled him easily. But, Brady, remember that? You were stressing.
Yeah, 100%. Because, Nigel, if you got the results, or someone got the results in front of him there, Geelong would have had their 6 over before our 6.
Yep.
So, visually, I'm looking at this going, poof. Well, they've got 6 before we've got 6. As I said before, when you got 2 guys top 10, and then your 3rd and 4th and 5th still coming in the high teens, low 20s, like, it's very hard to get caught. And they only had one. They had 3rd place, and then probably no one in the top 20. Would I be right there, Nige? So
spot on.
Although they get their top 6 over before us, we got the lower point scorers up the top there.
But how special is that? Is that moment when you cross the line, and I don't know, you think about your race for a split second, but then all of a sudden you start looking around, you start looking at singlets, and you're like, oh, okay, there's 3 of us, there's 2 of St. Stephen's, oh, here comes some more Geelong people or Box Hill, and you actually like fully forget how you race. And it's something that a lot of runners that don't do XCR will probably never experience, because you actually don't care how you went. And all of a sudden you're purely focused on how your team went, and you're just looking for more Bendigo runners. And it's, I know it's something so unique that you don't get anywhere else. Do you have those feelings?
Oh yeah. I remember looking at the clock as I was coming in, and I'm like, okay, that's like a decent time. I think it was like 45:35 or something like that. I was a bit surprised how quick it was. And then you literally, stop your watch, turn around, and then the officials are trying to get you out of there. They're like, keep moving, move on. I'm like, no, I'm staying here. I want to see who's coming. And I remember a few guys would come across the line, in the kind of like 20, 25th, and they're trying to like shake your hand, and you're kind of like quickly, yep, good run, but your eyes are on the finish line. You're like, piss off. I want to see where my next guy is. And then, those guys in those 20s, 30s, 40s, they're so close together as well. So there's just bodies coming across, and you actually, until you start seeing the results later on, you don't actually understand what positions they're all coming in.
And totally agree. Now you're just looking for those singlets, and those who have been on the Bendigo journey 5 years ago, there weren't many Bendigo singlets around. But now at Ballarat, you're just looking and you can see them. And this was actually a really great race for us as well. We cleaned up the Div 4. We were second in Div 7. We had 11 runners inside the top 100. So this was really, you know, this was one of Luke Crammery's first races in like 10 years or something with us. And yeah, just really great to see some of those guys. Shepsky ran well. Just a few of those guys in that Div 4 team starting to push up a little bit as well. So it was just really nice to see that depth. And when you are looking for singlets, you start sort of counting them off versus just, oh, yeah, I'm done. I've finished my individual effort. Let's go and do a cool down with people. You're kind of checking in with everyone. How'd you go? Who were the other teams around you? That sort of thing, which was really good. And actually in the women's, so Ingrid Woodward, who's a new runner for us in the 50 plus, she was second in the 50 plus and she was 23rd overall in the women's 15K. So she's just been a great addition to that women's team. And yeah, to be top, you know, to be 23rd is fantastic. And this is one where we still won that women's Div 4 team. We didn't have Jin. Alice Wilkinson was having a break because she'd run every round to date and been spearheading that. And Beck Wilkinson was injured. So, yeah, to still get that unbeaten run for those girls to that point was really super, I think. Really good to see, Bendigo turn up in Ballarat and have a go.
Mm. And kind of pretty much nearly put the icing on the cake. Nailed the nail into a few coffins. And then I think the mathematics went to Burnley half marathon next. And I think we had to finish, was it 8th, 9th, something like that, to have the season sewn up. So the decision obviously come in to rest Archie and Andy. And then it was myself, Nate Stoat, Crammers and Glenn, I think, scored as well. And you only need 5 for this one. And Jamie Cook was, I think he was our third guy across the line. And probably one of his better runs of the season as well from the beast there. And it was good enough to give us 5th. It was one of those ones that we didn't really mind too much. It was like, let's see how we go. Get the 5th. And we'll premiers after that event, which was pretty cool. Hard one to get to as well from the country. Starts at, is it 8 a.m., Nige? 8 a.m. on Father's Day?
Yep. I think my alarm went off at 5 a.m. or something, maybe even earlier than that. Yeah, 5 a.m. and I was not feeling the greatest rolling out down to Burnley with a couple of hour car trip and then a warm up down there. But that's, you know, all the other country athletes are feeling the same way. But certainly our metro colleagues aren't getting up quite that early, I don't think, to come down. So, or unless they squeeze in a football match the day before, Brady, like yourself.
Yes, yeah. Luckily, got offered some tickets on the drive down and went to, geez, it was a good game of footy too. I reckon if Collingwood won that day, they probably would have won the flag in the end. Yeah. So a bit unlucky for the Pies supporters out there. But that's all right. Probably got a big 4 or 5 years coming up. Nige, you're a Collingwood man as well. So
that's right. Good. Only ways up, mate.
If you go from 17th to 3rd, imagine what you're going to do the next couple of years. But anyway, so that was pretty much, that was the season done after 9 rounds, which is a dominant performance in itself, that you can win a season off, you only need 9 out of the 10 races to win one. But the poorest result of the year in 5th. Our previous lowest result was 3rd. And then still had some people out there thinking that we were like limping to the line, I think was the quote that went into the message group. And then that was the decision made to then attack the 10, realize we were our strongest team possible, finish the year the way we started it, and hopefully try and win the last round. And that's exactly what we did, boys. Great team there. It was Andy took us off, gave it to Archie, gave it to the two young boys ran next. It was Harrison Boyd and then Jaden Padgham to myself, and then Matt Buckle finished the job. And we won by over a minute. I think it was 65 seconds in total, which is the dominant win at the 10 because it's only, 4K pretty much. Four times six, what's that? 28K? No, 32K?
Yeah, well, it's a total race time of, 68.15 versus 69.20. So it's really a minute over that time is actually a fair bit. And you don't normally see winning margins that big. So we were quite happy to come out and just prove that we were actually the strongest team. We weren't limping to the line, and great to have those two 17-year-olds in our team as well. That's pretty special. And then we even had a 15-year-old that actually ran a little bit faster than those two 17-year-olds that was in our under-18 team. So he's someone to look out for in the future. But it was, I don't know, that 10 relays, it's a special event. It's such a, I hope AV never get rid of that event as the last event, because it's such a good way to finish the season. And yeah, I don't know, rocking up there as premiers, we probably turned a few heads with our t-shirts and that kind of stuff. But it was great to see the whole Bendigo team get on board, and it wasn't just about the men's team. It was a real celebration of everyone's efforts throughout the season. So it was I don't know, it's a pretty special place to run. And yeah, it was such a great way to finish the season, I think.
There was talk early on in the week about potentially going for the record. Had to average 11.11, I think it was, or 11.10 per lap. We didn't quite get there. Probably not the best timing in our season, especially for the younger guys who have come off our national cross-country championships. And we were also, you know, Nath Stoat was out of the team because he was prepping for Melbourne Marathon. So I think that's something we can get in future seasons. As we said before, we get our best six on the park. We can definitely get that for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think we can chase that, but it wasn't great timing. Those few of the young guys had come off National Cross, and not having Nath there kind of in the lead up to Melbourne. But I don't know, hopefully next year maybe it's something we can target. Get a bit more young blood in the team, Brady, and we might be struggling to hold our positions.
Yeah, well, I thought that was the case at the start of the season, Andy. I thought I was in a bit of trouble. I'm running Div 4 this season, but maybe it's brought out the best in me as well. That's what happens when you've got competitive spots. Brings out the best in you. And when we do look at the premiership point scorers for the year, we had 12 different individuals, which I think, I swear, at the start of the season when we did the first episode, I said if you want to win a premiership, you need 10 to 14 individuals over the season, because people will get injured, people will get sick, people will make the Commonwealth Games. All those kind of things can get thrown up there, and it really means you're relying on depth. You can't just have six superstars and six kind of, you know, top 20 guys, because it just doesn't happen like that. So, you know, we look at this team, the two junior boys who counted, Harrison Boyd and Jaden Padgham. They went 1 and 2 in the National Under 18 Cross Country Championships. We had Brian McGinley I think he ran most of the first five and then suffered an injury. Actually, he ran race six at Bundoora, suffered an injury, and then wasn't there for the last four. Brian Keeley was strong throughout the start and middle, and then also suffered an injury. Jamie Cook was there most of the season. Luke Crammery came in towards the end of the season and scored for us at Burnley. He was there from race seven on, but got into the premiership team towards the end there. Glenn McMillan, same thing. Sandown Relays, he scored for us. Burnley, he scored for us. Ballarat 15K, I don't think so. I don't think he scored that one. But really, you know, guys like Glenn and Crammers set up that Div 4 team for success as well. Archie Reid was there for, I think he did six of the season. I'm trying to think. He definitely did Gels Park. He did Bendigo. And then he had a bit of an injury and came back at Albert Park to be the next point scoring race for him. So missed a bit in the middle there. Andy started with us. Oh, what'd you do, the first three? And then you missed
first
a couple.
Three.
Yep. Then you missed four. Was it missed four? And then back missed, again.
Yeah, St. Anne's, Sandown, Bundoora and Albert Park. So the middle four, but was there for the first three and the last three. So
and then Matt,
not as many as I'd like, but
That's all right. We still did your job when you were here. Matt Buckle and I did all 10, which was a good season for us. And Nath Stoat did 9 of the 10 races, missing out at the Town Relays there to start his Melbourne Marathon prep. So definitely a team effort when you look at that. And talking about team effort, Nige, you've got some stats here about what happened in the other divisions and how many members we had in the teams throughout the year.
Yeah, thanks, Brady. So overall, 70 Bendigo runners across the men's, the women's, the masters, the juniors, and that's just saying I think for a lot of people, that people are enjoying running for the Bats and they're buying into that culture of let's go along and let's support each other, and changing the notion that running is an individual sport, that you actually can be part of a team, and whether that's jumping on the bus or traveling with other people to and from the event, those sort of things. Like 70 people is, that's quite a lot for Bendigo. I know people might be going, oh, Bendigo's like 100,000 people, but that's a lot. And I'm excited to see that growth and just those numbers of people, and a lot of people running with us for the first time. And then, you know, we're actually getting messages from other people going, oh, like, do you think I could join you next year? So having some of those chats quietly about people who do want to come, which I think is really exciting. And as Andy mentioned before, some of our juniors are really exciting that are coming through. And I think that is really positive for the future as well, isn't it? That some of those juniors, be it Harry and Jaden, Logan, some of the girls who are juniors who will be coming up into Open in the next year, maybe next year or two, just means that we're not, you know, hopefully it's not just 2020 and that's 2022 and that's it. Maybe it can grow on in the future as well. And then, yeah, to finish off with 11 relay teams at the TAN is very cool, because it wasn't so long ago that it was two relay teams. You know, it would have been like one men's team, one Masters women's team, and that might have been it. So to have 11 is really cool, and certainly high point for my.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Myself was around having that first XCR round in Bendigo for the first time in two decades. At Big Hill at St Anne's, and that was just really cool. I think that was really meant a lot to me. I think, Andy, it meant a lot to you as well to have a race in Bendigo. And I'm disappointed that I ran terribly, but I think I was so caught up in the organising and everything beforehand that by the time it actually got to the racing, I was kind of cooked. But Andy, I don't know if you want to mention anything about St Anne's, and then Brady maybe comment as well about St Anne's round.
Yeah, I don't know. It was it's something that I'd spoken with Tim Crosby a little bit, and he'd kind of seen that the culture in Bendigo was growing. So he's like, we need to get a race out there. We're really keen to do it. And I just thought it was a bit of a pipe dream. It'd never happen. And then through a lot of planning, a lot of visits out to St. Anne's Winery, a few hurdles along the way, to see that race actually get up, and I don't know, like to see a lot of my family and friends come out to watch me, just because like coming down to say Bundoora to watch like a 10K race, it's not that appealing for a lot of people, but seeing a lot of family friends come out to St. Anne's Winery was really special. And I actually think we've changed the XCR game a little bit. Like there's now the Strava segments on every race that we kind of implemented there. And we're kind of already starting to plan on what we can do better next year. So I think it was a bit of a game changer and something that I'm really proud of. And I know that we had a lot of Bendigo people there this year. And I know next year it's going to be even bigger and better. So, Brady, what were your kind of thoughts on that round?
Yeah, it was great. Like my 80-year-old grandparents were there. Didn't see them on course. They said they yelled out to me and cheered me on. And it was just, it's a chaos cross-country course that you always got to be looking where your feet are. And the crowd support, especially close to the finish line there, was amazing. And it was just good not having to sit in the car, like lose a whole day. You know, we could sit at the bar there afterwards and have a couple of beers, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm still going to get home at a decent time today. So I think the atmosphere was good. I'd like to see Athletes Victoria, like, it was good that they took those ideas and just kind of like carbon copy for other events, but it'd be like, okay, what else can you think of outside the square? You don't just want to rip something that's worked for one, and you could have different, you know, different themes at different races. I think, like, you don't have to have the Strava segment everywhere, but maybe one of the rounds they go hard on the music, or you know, something like that. So we tried a bit of everything there, but that was good, and well done to you boys for, yeah, getting it off the ground. And just back to that comment about the juniors coming through, I think that's a big thing for team success as well, because there's four of the 10 rounds are relays, and they're all relay distances that junior kids can run. So if you've got a strong under 18, under 20 team, you can put them in, like we did. We had juniors at, well, not so much Gels Park, but the other three relays we did. It can really set your team up for success at those relay rounds.
Definitely, especially when they're, shall we say, shorter distances, like the TAN, 3.8K. Yep. That's definitely a speed and a distance where under 18s, under 20s, they tend to race 3Ks more than you and I do, or the three of us on this call do. So they've got that really punchy speed. And most of the relay rounds, we've run two boys teams and two girls teams, haven't we, Andy? And many of them out of the athlete development program run here in Bendigo. So we do have a really good stable there that, you know, we can draw on and hopefully keep drawing on into the future.
Yeah, and I think we will. And it's quite cool to see the likes of, like, Harry and Jaden, and there is others. And they get quite excited when they're like, oh, are we running Div 1? Like, it actually means something to them. And that's super cool. It's really cool to see that, like, all the people in the bats are really good role models for those kids. And it's so much better, I think, that they're involved in running compared to a traditional footy club kind of scene where they think they're bloody professional athletes and they have a piss up every Saturday night. And I just think that's like that culture for those young kids is so much better in running. So it's really exciting for them, but then it's also really exciting for the young girls that we have coming through. Cause I think that women's team, they won Div 4 undefeated, which I'm sure we'll talk about, and they're just going to keep lowering down. So it's going to be a similar thing now. And it's such a good thing for those juniors to look up to and be excited about, because it means a lot to them. And I think probably my favorite thing throughout the whole season was just the fan engagement. Like, I had people talking to me about the bats that don't even know running. And I think the cherry on the top was Alan Jeans. He does the commentating on
the videos
on the YouTube recap things, yeah. And watching the 10 relays, he actually called us the bats, and I was like, this is so good, because it's like, it's just our nickname, it's not our actual name. And it's just so cool to see that we've made a bit of a thing of this. And I had people, like, at work that I was bumping into all over the place being like, oh, how'd the bats go this weekend, or like, oh, what's happened, I haven't seen the results, kind of thing. And they were really engaged, and I know that's one of the things we'd spoken about at the start of the year. We wanted to create a bit of hype around this awesome event. And even though we talked a lot of shit, I think it's really cool to see, one, that we backed it up, but two, just the followers that we've got that joined us along the journey.
Yeah. Did I tell you the story about how I was at the pub up here in Moama at the golf club? Have I said this on air?
No, it
was
there
was a kid I used to teach working behind the bar, because I still think I'm like 22, but it turns out, like, the kids I teach are now like, or have taught, are now like 24 working behind the bar serving beers. And he asked me what I'm up to these days and if I still do running. And because they're mostly the same age as Archie, these kids, I'm like, yeah, I do a bit of running with Archie and we train together. And then I said, oh, we do these races, like, as a team down in Bendigo. And this kid goes, oh yeah, the Bendigo Bats. And I'm just like, yeah, that's it. The Bendigo Bats, that's our team. So it's definitely spreading the word. And success breeds success. And just looking through some of these division results, Nige, my co-host on Inside Running, Julian Spence, got a bit confused because he couldn't work out why so many people were in premiership t-shirts. And I had to explain to him it was because we won so many premierships. He thought everyone was just buying them just to celebrate the Premier Division team, but definitely not. So do you want to go through some of the results we had across the board?
Yeah, that's right. So obviously the Division 1 men's premiership. We've already talked about that, and most listeners here would know that. But also the Div 4 men's, almost undefeated. I think we got rolled at one of the rounds, perhaps the TAN, but almost undefeated for Div 4 as well. And that's just saying a lot of things about the depth. And as I said earlier about the Ballarat round, like to have often all of the Div 4 guys also in the top 100 just really means that if people do get injured, we've got a bigger pool to draw on. But also I think those guys can buy into that as well and enjoy that. Men's Div 7, I think we finished maybe first and third in Div 7, so I expect we'll relegate or promote one of those. And the under-18 junior men's were first, and the under-20 girls were second over the series. So just really super to see those teams finish throughout the year and just run really consistently in those divisions too, which is really cool. And hence, you know, we made a lot of shirts for everyone. But one of the ones we were really excited about was the women's Div 4, undefeated through the whole series. So we'll strongly assume they'll move up to Div 3 for next year and maybe even get a nudge into Div 2, but probably they'll keep us in Div 3. And Alice Wilkinson was just the backbone of that whole campaign, ran virtually every round, except for I know she had a rest at Ballarat and ran massive PB at Burnley. I think like a 4-minute PB at Burnley half marathon as well. So she's just had a stellar year and has obviously been listening to the coach, which is good.
Off to New York too, isn't she?
Really built that. Off to New York, yeah, to run the marathon. So, clearly she was great. Brought in Jin Maloney. Beck Wilkinson ran the first block of the season until she got a... I think she ended up with two stress fractures in the end. And then just being able to build in names there like Ness Bull, Anna, Juliet running, travelling from... Juliet is Bendigo registered, but she lives in Swan Hill. So she travels to every round from Swan Hill to be amongst it. And just fantastic to see that Div 4 team growing. And we'd love to still see that continuing to progress as it moves into Div 3. And then ultimately, I feel like it's a really solid Div 2 team. And we'll just see how that progresses in the future, I think.
Yeah, we're talking about the future, 2023. What are your thoughts? Going to be strong back to back. You don't want to think too far ahead. You want to live in the moment a bit, but you've got to be looking at the team on paper. There's a lot of upside. Other than myself, I think everyone else gets quicker.
I was saying earlier this week that winning 7 out of 10 rounds, gosh, how do you beat that? I don't think we could back it up. You know, like things have gone really well. Like we've had 12 incredible talent, 12 great runners. Can you do that again? And that's me thinking it's really hard to win one XCR round or race, let alone 7 out of 10. Like this is just a really, can you climb Everest again? But then Andy had a different view, didn't you, Andy?
Yeah, I don't know. I suppose like I've been surrounding myself. I've been with Matt and Ned a little bit and they're obviously a bit younger and they're like, hey, we're going to win every round next year. Like that's just how they think. They're a little bit younger and they're like, yeah, that's just what we're going to do. And I don't know. I'm kind of more so on that ship at the moment. Like I think our team's only going to get better. And while I think a lot of the other teams were probably a bit weaker this year, didn't have that really top end depth that we often see in XCR. I think we can definitely go back to back. And I think there's going to be a lot of hunger there from some new guys coming up. And hopefully Ned, we've spoken about him before. Hopefully he gets in there. We've got some younger guys as well. And then there's a few guys that probably would have wished to score a little bit more in that Div 1 team and didn't. So they'll be pleading their case for 2023. So I think we can definitely go back to back. I honestly think we could nearly win every round, but I don't know. Enjoy the moment while it's here, I reckon, Brady.
Do you reckon we need to get busy in the trade period? I reckon we just need to land someone. Obviously, now we'll become a destination club. There's a lot of people out there probably not happy. Who got relegated this year? Who was the bottom of the ladder?
Oh, good question. Let me have a quick look here.
I know I don't like the Geelong.
Doncaster.
I don't like the Geelong. Oh, Alistair Christie would be a nice pickup from Doncaster.
And APS United were 10th. So wasn't the deal they were relegating two?
APS was the team that didn't let us in. Remember, they beat us in the last round in 2019. So we don't want to pick up anyone from APS because they hurt us that year. But this is
78
where,
seconds. Oh,
yeah,
still getting over it.
You don't want to. You don't want to bring in a whole team of ring-ins, but potentially it just might be worth just. I'm sure people will be sliding into the DMs asking what kind of the club. Well, you know the club culture at Bendigo and the bats and stuff, and how we celebrate our athletes and stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a big signing who could just potentially be a premier, even someone who might just pop in for six or seven races for the year. Someone who can just float around 15th, 20th could be a good thing, fellas.
A bit like Jeremy Cameron, you reckon?
Something like that. Join
a team of superstars and become even better.
Wants to go into a team that's already successful and just put the icing on the cake a bit. Because I think next year, I need to be a bit more strategic. I can probably only commit to, five or six of the 10 rounds. So it's like, well, where's my best, which six are the best ones that you need me at? But then that's where you just bring the junior kids into the relays and they'll just do the half and the 15 and the 12 and the 10.
It's funny, I think we were quite, because we've never been in this position before, we were quite, we have to win this round, we have to win this next round. And you actually don't, we ended up doing it pretty easy, but I know before every race, it was like, yep, all right, we need to get our best, we need to win this one, we need to win this next one. And we just I don't know, I think next year will be a little bit different around that, where we can rest a few people and, Brady, don't go down to this one and do this one. But
you also want to make hay while the sun shines out as well. Why you got everyone who's fit and it's like, hey, you don't want to rest someone and then all of a sudden they're injured for the next one. Or it's like you need to kind of plan it. So, if you know the team's going to be weak, you want to go there and smash them so you do get that extra point on top and give yourself some breathing space. I like the way we did it this year because it got to the second half of the season. It's like, okay, now let's rest guys at Burnley and let's, Nath can start using these as workouts instead of racing flat out and things like that.
So out of these 12 people, how many of those 12 do you think are going to get a bat tat?
Well, Archie and I were talking about it on Sunday. It's the first, we wanted to be the first two to get it because we think people are going to just get out of it and be like, nah, it was just a cool idea. But we wanted to go get one and then just send it into the message group saying, we're done, boys. Moama Inc. Has been sorted.
We were trying to get it sorted pre-tan relays, but turns out, I don't know, I don't think many tattoo people like doing just little tats because they're a lot of prep work for not much money. So we actually, Ned and myself looked into it. Well, Ned did, and we couldn't find a place to try and get in for that week. So, we were trying to have them for 10 relays, but it didn't quite happen. But, how many out of the 12 do you think are going to go through with it?
I think most. I think most. I think...
I think there'll be a few. I think there'll be a few that are
10
down
of the 12?
If there is any tattoo artists out there that are interested, reach out, slide into our DMs, and we can promote the shit out of you. So, just let us know because we're looking for someone. So the big chess piece needs a bit of work. So
would have looked nice at Melbourne Marathon this weekend as well, which is a good segue. We got a few bats in action. You're going to be in the half, Andy. Nate Stoad, who we've spoken about, is going to be in the full marathon. Archie Reid's going to be in the 10K. Luke Cramer is in the half marathon. Jamie Cook, I think, has entered the marathon. He's been a bit quiet on Strava, though, so I hope all is good there and we see him on the start line. Anyone else you know of, boys? That's just off the top of my head.
We got Milko in the pool.
Trying to break.
He's doing his first.
Is that his first one?
First one.
Good prep, too. He's ready to go. Rory Flanagan.
Yes.
Yep.
Chris Armstrong ran a few races for the Bats. He's doing the marathon. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else.
Is Alice doing something in the lead up to New York? Do you know?
Don't think so, but I'm not sure.
I can have a look at her her program here. I reckon her coach will have that in her program. Give me 2 seconds. Anyone else?
Run to PB
head?
Athlete.
Run to PB athlete.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think also next year, keep an eye on the 40 plus division. I reckon we can have a crack in the 40 plus. You know, that was Richmond, Mentone, Box Hill. I reckon with myself, Steve Van Rees and Rory, Matt Hook coming in and out of that division, I reckon we'll be going all right in the 40 plus. So yeah, don't know if we can do much about Steve Dineen, but I reckon we can be a pretty solid outfit.
Something that we've never really targeted, have we, Nige? Like, we have the relay team sometimes there, but they're kind of we focus on the divisions and then we kind of overfill into those age group categories. So it's probably something that we can look to focus on.
Certainly once we build the depth, you know, we've got to build the depth through the Div 4 and into the Div 7. But if we've got a Div 3 and a Div 6, then we've got some few extras. If Steve and I can cobble together with one other, I think that'd be pretty handy little Div 4, 40-plus team as well. So
dangerous.
Look out.
No Alice.
What's
for
Alice
Sunday?
Up to,
She's
Brady?
Doing a race simulation Sunday, 24K at 425 to 435 pace. I won't read the full description because her coach and her don't know that I'm looking at her profile here, but her coach, Ben, is doing, who is a bat, coached by a bat and a bat runner, is doing a great job writing her program here. So all the best, Alice, for your preparation for New York. Rightio, boys, anything more we need to say before we leave the bat fans? I did love, I'm not sure if you saw on our social medias, but obviously we brought out the bat premiership tees. We did have a very small amount of those to go on sale for the general public. And when I say small, it was like 5 of the 50 order were not taken up by team members. And John, he asked for one and paid for one and we delivered him one. And then he went over to the Berlin Marathon. And then there's a picture of him that's popped up under the Brandenburg Gate. He's wearing a Bendigo Bats Premiership T-shirt. So I thought that was very cool. That a little cross-country road racing team from Bendigo, our premiership T-shirt is now under the Brandenburg Gate for a photo. So a few people hit me up asking me about those ones. Probably none available because it took a lot of work and we need to order like a minimum amount. And time is not on my side, especially at this time of the year. So maybe, hold on, I'll get one next year. Get the 2023 version.
One final question from me is, I'm after your one absolute highlight from the season. What is it?
It's got to be, it's cliche, but it's got to be Gels Park. Like the, and I only watched the video because my algorithm on the YouTube TV, it came up, I was watching, you know how the Athletes Victoria did like a season recap thing? I watched that on the TV the other day. So now it thinks it's what my algorithm's just chucking me all these AV videos. And then the Gels Park one rocked up and I'm like, oh yeah, I'll have a look at this again. And it was just such an iconic race because you had yourself, Stewie and Jack Rayner there. So I think like the three teams out in front all had, well, Box Hill were there as well. Andre's not quite like an Australian rep like the other three of you guys, but you know, he's the class of that team. So you kind of had four superstars in four teams. And then I think you had five guys who were just good, solid state runners. Maybe Liam Cashin, you know, he's a national kind of level runner for Western A's there. But it was just like a whole lot of like strong, deep teams going head to head. The fact that the rain came in, it was a close race. The footage was just, you know, all the teams changing over together on that last leg. And I remember running around like the course, watching that race, just being like, I would be stoked if we got a medal. Like, just give us a bronze one. I just want a bronze one. I would go down the highway so happy with a bronze one. And you kind of had this, like, almost this youthfulness, like, naive kind of feeling about the team. That then after that, it just flipped. It was like, okay, we're not the underdogs anymore. We're not the like new guys on the block. We are now the hunted. And it all just flipped after round one. And it was just a race that I'll remember forever. So that's probably my highlight of the season. And just the way the groups come together. Like, it's building culture is something I've kind of worked in schools with. Like bringing school, you know, leaders together and classes and kids and staff members and things like that. And it's kind of been interesting trying to do it from scratch. In a way, we've a lot of new people, new faces this year. So I think it's something we all need to be pretty proud of, how the team's bonded together. And that probably showed at the beer session afterwards a bit on the Saturday night after the town relay. So, yeah, they're probably my two things that I'll and it'll just be a season never forget. Like, I think when you get to my age and you haven't got much running ahead of you, you look back and you're like, oh yeah, happy with these PBs, happy with these race experiences in, you know, some bigger overseas marathons, and you're like, oh, now I can add that I was part of Bendigo winning a premiership, which we'd never done before. So yeah, special for me in those ways. You guys?
Nice, you go.
Oh, I mentioned it before, but that round in Bendigo was pretty electric, and just having running through the vines and just knowing that, yeah, we'd been part of a team that had brought this event back after 20 years of not having a local round. And that was pretty amazing. And just having the whole, you know, the whole setup was just worked as we'd planned for it. And I think that was a real highlight. And then obviously capping it off with, you know, actually some really great women's results as well as the men's results, and just bringing a sense of what XCR is to our friends and family, as you guys were both saying earlier, like to have family there to go, oh, this is actually what you guys bang on about running for and training for, and this is what it's all about. And they're like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. So that was probably, from my point, the highlight. Certainly that, racing wise that race at Gels was crazy, like that last leg, but the whole build up but that last leg was crazy. And I remember, like, just giving Tim Crosby, who was on the mic, like the updates, like, oh, they're neck and neck, and like, oh, Andy's passed, you know, Andy's up to Andre, like, oh, you know, Andy's up to Nath Pierce, like, you know, doing the whole thing, and Tim just going, oh, this is, Tim's just eyes are lighting up, because he's going, this is, we haven't had a great round of XCR for a few years because of COVID, and now we come back with this blockbuster. And yeah, just everyone was hoarse, screaming at everyone, was pretty just amazing. And actually the third highlight, I'll take three because I can, but the third highlight was actually that round in St Anne's Murnyong in the relays, where Andy was away, I was feeling a bit nervous, can we get this done? And then yeah, Harry Boyd ran the finish line and was just like, no, Andy, no worries, just still got it done out there to take the win. And I was thinking, wow, that's a highlight, you know, to do it without Andy, to do it without Archie, is a big effort. So yeah, that was really all different reasons. So
yeah, I'll just go with the one you boys mentioned, about five there in total, but for me it was definitely Jails. I don't know, it was just epic. And I've spoken to Tim a few times, and I've heard him mention to others that, and talking to others about this Gels Park race, and I think it's just going to go down. And I'm actually a little bit jealous that I couldn't spectate it, like with the team, because I was running. But I just couldn't believe the noise that was just coming, like, because that course, you do a lot of up and back and all that kind of stuff, and people were just going from point to point. And it was, there's a great photo, Nige, where I'm running past and you're like, got your rain jacket on because it's raining, and you're like yelling at me. And yeah, it's a really special photo, and it's actually my highlight of 2022 in terms of running, was that Gels Park and just doing it with the team. And I don't know, like, Brady, you and me probably both thought we'd never ever win, like Bendigo would never win one of these big relays. So it was just like, it was just awesome. It was so much fun. So I think Gels Park is the highlight for me.
And it's weird, you look at it and, like, I've caught myself a few times this year, because you start when you're a kid and you look up to these, like, Division One teams, and then I'd started, like you did before, you're like, oh yeah, the other Division One teams were a bit weaker. You're like, nah, they're probably not any weaker than they have over the previous years. We've just got that much better as a team and a culture and a club, that you're like, oh, that's just us now. But because you've just seen, you've never expected us to be there, you're like looking for, like, excuses. You're like, hang on, how have we got here? Must be other teams are weaker, or like lower participation numbers or whatever. But you're like, until you look up the results, it's like, oh yeah, we do have four guys who can break 30 minutes for 10K. Like, growing up, Bendigo had no one who could break 30 minutes for 10K. And now it's like, you kind of got to run close to, you know, under 30 to get a spot in our team, kind of thing, now in a relay team. So I think it's important to kind of put that kind of context on it, and it makes you appreciate it so much more. Like, imagine if you just walked into a team and they were already good and didn't have to do that journey. But anyway, boys, we've talked a lot of Bendigo bat-related chat here. Gone for an hour.
We have.
57 minutes. I might, we might go out, listeners. I might clip the audio that Athletics Victoria did in their reflection video. So it's a bit of an interview with Andy and Tim Crosby kind of talking about the bats over the season. And we can go out with that one. And then keep an eye on our social media, at Bendigo Bats on Instagram. If you're keen to follow the journey of all the team members, I think pretty much we're all on Strava, so you can see what we're doing over the coming months. A few people will be racing the track, no doubt. Zatopek, I assume. We could have three bats in that race, Andy. Yourself, Nath and Archie could all potentially be in that one. They've all those boys have run under the qualifying time there. Not sure. Have you got any race announcements you can share with us, Andrew? Any marathon plans? Exclusive?
Not yet. I'm still just enjoying the non-marathon thinking, because you know what it's like when you've got one kind of hanging over your head. It kind of takes over your whole life. So I'm just, I'll do the half marathon this weekend and then probably Burnie 10. And then I'll probably focus on World Cross Trials, which are early next year. But in terms of the bats, definitely follow along on our Instagram. We're not just a winter thing. So we definitely keep having a presence there. So if you're keen to follow along, jump on our Instagram and follow us there.
And if you're one of those athletes out there that runs for a team and you're a handy runner but not happy where you were running at the moment, I'm after that one big signing. Just my DMs at Brady Trell on Instagram. We can start talking, a bit of a proposal for you. So that's all, leave it there, boys. Thanks for your work this year, Nige. Thanks, Andy. We'll do it again whenever we do it next.
We will. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, all.
And the Open Men.
The Open Men, well, what do you say about Bendigo? They've had, we use that word momentum, and they've built their own momentum, and I think that's what other clubs should be looking over the fence at this and saying, well, how did Bendigo do it?
A surprise to win Giles Park is probably nearly the hardest race to win, because there's some of the guys that head over to Europe, they still do that race, and we were a bit surprised, and then it was just expected that we won. That was our expectation. So Sandown realised we were actually really bummed with second, and I'm going, hang on, guys, we finished second, that's still a really good result. But some of the younger guys, they're like, no, we win every round, because that's what they were used to. So we definitely got that momentum, and yeah, just carried us through the long season.
Then Andy Buchanan and Brady Trelf will obviously are a major part of that, but then they bring through the young guys and they just put this level of enthusiasm. And the win at Giles Park was, we'll be talking about that race for many years to come, and that's what set them up, because they had belief then.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.